They're called the Heroes on the Hill. Veterans who live at the Holyoke Soldiers Home are among those being honored this Veterans Day. But the specter of COVID-19 outbreak, which led to at least 76 residents' deaths, still looms. The tragedy was one of the largest COVID death tolls in the long-term care facility nationwide. The former leaders face criminal negligent charges. The families of those who died also filed a $176 million federal lawsuit that, among others, names State Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutters. This is And Another Thing. Derek Kennedy is off today. I'm Maya Schwader. More than a year after that deadly COVID outbreak, lawmakers are proposing reforms for both the state-run nursing homes for veterans in Chelsea and in Holyoke. State Senator John Vilas co-chairs the state legislature's Joint Committee on Veterans and Federal Affairs. We spoke with the senator earlier about reforms being offered in the new legislation, including one to replace the home's Board of Trustees with a new statewide advisory council.
As both the chair of the committee, but also as the senator for the Holyoke Soldiers Home, I've got some concerns with that. Holyoke Soldiers Home and the Chelsea Soldiers Home are completely different entities, in that the Holyoke Soldiers Home is more of your traditional nursing home where the residents happen to be veterans, whereas Chelsea is more of a dom, and it's more of a facility that really helps out people who are at risk of becoming homeless. So I would argue that because of those distinctions, there really should be an element of local control. So that's actually, I don't want to say a point of contention, but it's certainly going to be a point of conversation. And we have the hearing on the 19th. I will certainly be asking many questions in that area. That, in fact, is probably the main issue that I have with this bill right now.
The Holyoke Soldiers Home Coalition, in addition to overhauling the Board of Trustees, they are saying that there should be medical experts put in charge of day-to-day operation and put the Holyoke Home and the Chelsea facility under the Department of Public Health. What would this do?
One of the things that I really want to, at these hearings on the 19th, you know, Mary Lou Sutters, obviously the Secretary of the Executive Office of Health and Human Services, one of the questions that I'm going to ask her directly is, do you have the bandwidth for this to put the homes under DPH, which of course falls under Health and Human Services? Is this something that you can even do? You know, similar to the local control and the Board of Trustees, I definitely have a lot of questions because it serves no one, most certainly the veterans in question, if we move those homes and kind of alter the framework of that chain of command, if you will, putting them under DPH. If DPH tells us, look, we don't have the bandwidth for this. Facilities under DPH have had far less deaths during COVID. And I think that's absolutely something that we need to talk about, we need to explore. But I think you also kind of have to have a real honest dialogue about that, because the populations, obviously in many of the DPH facilities, one of them being in my district, Western Mass Hospital, you're talking about a demographic that in many instances wouldn't be as vulnerable to COVID-19. They're younger. You know, a lot of times there's not as many comorbidities. So again, it's a critical distinction. More people died at the soldiers' homes than they did under DPH facilities. But also, it's not an apples to apples thing. One of the benefits of these committee hearings is you get to hear proponents, opponents on all sides. You know, my job really as the chairman of this committee is to try to produce the best bill possible, which at the end of the day is going to be for the veterans that are residents both at the Holyoke and Chelsea Soldiers Home. And whatever we need to do to get there, that's going to be the bill that I support.
So am I hearing you say that the reforms on the table right now are not quite what you would like to see?
I guess the better way to put it is that there is a process. And I have never in my entire time as a senator and a state rep seen a bill that was filed on such and such a date resemble the bill that was voted on when we do it. There's an amendment process. There's a bill hearing process. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty is right now, particularly as it relates to the local control stuff, is that I've got some reservations about the bills currently as written. Let's get to a point where we can get it to a better bill, where we can build some consensus so we can get to a bill that protects our veterans, ensures that something that happened in March of 2020 never happens again.
You mentioned Health and Human Services Secretary Mary Lou Sutters, who is now charged in the complaint surrounding the soldiers' home. Is her leadership part of the reason why you are hesitant about putting the Chelsea and Holyoke Soldiers Home under the Department of Public Health?
No, I mean, if you look at it, it would really fall under DPH. Secretary Sutter's would be, I guess, one person removed, if you will. It's really just about, before we go about moving something under DVS and putting it under DPH, we need to make sure that DPH can do it, that they want to do it, and most importantly, they have the bandwidth to do it.
DVS, of course, being the Department of Veterans Services and DPH being the Department of Public Health.
Now, in theory, I agree. I think it sounds great. I mean, one of the lessons we learned is that if we have an opportunity to put medical people, you know, those boots on the ground, I think we really should do that. And one of the components of the bills is that the superintendent needs to be a licensed nursing home administrator. But I would also be remiss if I didn't say that the person who kind of came into the Holyoke Soldiers Home immediately after all this occurred, Val Liptak, who, as you know, came over from Western Mass Hospital, did not have this licensed nursing home administrator degree, if you will. And I think by all accounts, she did a really good job straightening out that ship and putting in a position where we're doing everything we need to do to ensure it never happens again. I mean, if we can clean up some of the statutes that govern this, I'm far less concerned about what state entity it falls under than I am with the right people being in the right place in that chain of command to ensure that if COVID-19, whatever variant, God forbid, rears its ugly head at one of these homes, that we've got the people in place to make the right decisions.
If you're just joining us, we're hearing from State Senator John Velas about the proposed reforms surrounding the Holyoke Soldiers Home. The home's current facilities date back to the 1950s. This past May, Governor Baker signed a $400 million spending bill to finance the construction of a new building. We asked Senator Velas whether a new building would solve any of the previous home's problems.
It's going to be a situation where instead of having four or five veterans in one room, which is completely counter to any semblance of infection control, we're going to have one or two veterans in a room. And part of the new legislation that absolutely I'm going to see preserved is that there would be a full-time infection control person who does this for a living. That is their only job. One of the benefits of medical technology over the past several years is that many service members who in previous conflicts would have died on the battlefield are now living. The flip side of that is they're coming home with what I would describe as catastrophic injuries, again, multiple amputees and stuff like that. So one of the best things about this new home is it captures what we believe is going to be the new demographic of veterans, with taking into account injuries sustained in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Northern Africa.
Is there any element of this, though, that is just optically a little bit, well, we're trying to start from a blank slate and just move past the mistakes that were made rather than really working at the reforms?
I think it's a combination thereof. We know that these types of homes are moving towards what's referred to as from the VA as the small home concept. The notion of putting four or five people together in a room, that's getting to be an antiquated notion. We're kind of evolving in our treatment where we're trying to keep people at home because that's what people want. They want to stay with their families as long as they can. And if at some point in time they need to go to an assisted living place, a soldier's home, a nursing home, we want to give them the quality of life that they so aptly deserve. You know, so there's the $400 million for the Holyoke Soldiers Home. The actual bill that the governor signed was a $600 million bill, which is going to take into account all of the regional equity things. So one of the things we're hearing loud and clear is that we need to be able to service veterans throughout the Commonwealth, not just in the greater Holyoke area, not just in the greater Boston-Chelsea area. We want to make sure that all veterans are taken care of. So that's what that $200 million is earmarked for. But then on the flip side, the governance stuff of that, as a member of the oversight committee that really looked into this stuff, is that it's still to this day, I am taken aback at kind of the disconnect in some of the chain of command issues. Who was answering to who? Was it the superintendent that was supposed to be speaking to the DVS secretary? What was the role of the board of trustees? What was the role of the secretary of Executive Office of Health and Human Services? What was the governor's role? And I think that was very, very messy, and kind of bringing in my military background, if you will, when you have a chain of command that is unclear, and I think by any stretch of the imagination, what we witnessed at Holyoke and other places in March of 2020 is a chain of command that was broken. So I think one of the most critical things about this governance legislation is that we've got clear lines of control. So if, God forbid, something like this were to happen again, or something completely entirely different, the people that are there, boots on the ground, are going to know who to pick up the phone and call, who they're going to send an email to, and there's going to be a response. And I kind of go back to, if you looked at some of the stuff we discussed with the oversight hearing, you know, there was constantly this conversation of when was the National Guard called in? And to this day, I'm embarrassed to say we still don't know the answer to that question. One does have to wonder if the Massachusetts National Guard were called in Thursday and Friday, as opposed to Monday, you know, prior to certain decisions being made, would we have a different result? And that's why I think the building is critical, the bond bill that we did, as well as doing oversight to really clean up those chain of command issues.
The state legislature's Holyoke Soldiers Home Oversight Committee, which you serve on, held numerous public hearings last year. What stuck with you the most from those hearings?
It was the chain of command. It was such an unclear who reports to who. And I think that's the most important thing. And that it's really an easy area to make better. The Board of Trustees, I believe, is a really critical part of this, because the Board of Trustees at the Holyoke Soldiers Home, what was their role during all of this? I am convinced that lack of authority, if you will, is another issue we need to address.
Senator, today is Veterans Day. You are a veteran yourself. You're also the chair of the Veterans and Federal Affairs Committee on Beacon Hill. What message do you have for veterans and their families who are listening?
America as a nation is being challenged more today in so many different ways. It's, to be very honest, you're pretty scary. So what I would say to all the veterans out there, all the service members, you know, the less than 0.5% of America's population that's serving today, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much for your service. And to the family members of our veterans, thank you, thank you, thank you for the support of your loved one. Because one of the things that I know pretty well is when a young man or a young woman decides to serve their country, it's not just them serving, it's their entire family, their friends. So thank you to everybody. Keep your head up high. And as long as America has young men and women who are willing to raise their right hand and take an oath to defend this nation and Constitution, we are going to be okay as a nation.
Senator John Vilas of Westfield, such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for joining us.
All right. You have a great day.
Still to come on And Another Thing, we'll hear more about the plans for a new Holyoke Soldiers Home, and a woman whose father died from COVID complications will share her story. Stay with us. Welcome back to And Another Thing. Dara Kennedy is off today. I'm Maya Schwader. On this Veterans Day, we're checking back in on the Soldiers Home in Holyoke. In the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak there last year, hundreds of family members, veterans, and concerned citizens formed the Holyoke Soldiers Home Coalition, which has its own slate of reforms it's pushing to enact. Joining us now is John Parody of Florence. He's a retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, and he's also one of the committee's members. Thank you so much for being with us, John. We heard from Senator Vilas earlier in the program that, for instance, he's skeptical about things like future local control of the soldier's home or what it would look like if it were put under the Department of Public Health. Your coalition has been pushing for local control. What's your response to his concerns?
Well, thank you first for having me on the program, especially here on Veterans Day. I send greetings to all my fellow veterans and extend my gratitude for their service, as well as an appreciation to all the family members and citizens out there who support us. So I would say, you know, our main area of concern at this time is that we want to see true and honest reforms take place. And the home, you know, the soldiers' home in Holyoke for years has been that iconic statement in Western Massachusetts of community support and love for our veterans, and we emphatically want that to continue. And we believe truly that the best way to continue that connection is through a local governance model. And we do truly believe that the veterans there would be best served under a different model of care, under the Department of Public Health, I think as Senator Vilas has stated, we need to see clear reporting lines, a clear chain of command, and ultimately we want to see governance that includes representation from the veteran community that our citizens want to see. The veteran community and the citizens of Western Massachusetts, we believe, must have a say in the governance of the Soldiers' Home in Holyoke.
When you say true and honest reform, get a little bit more specific for us. What does that look like?
Well, right now what we've seen, and we know, I think as Senator Vilas said, it's early in a conversation, a dialogue, there's legislation that's been proposed, and what we've seen so far, you know, we don't feel as though our state's getting it right. We've looked at the legislation, and we have some concerns. First of all, the legislation would remove the Board of Trustees at both homes, both in Holyoke and Chelsea, and thereby would eliminate local autonomy and authority. We find it hard to believe that this is even being considered. The legislation and the bills that have been filed would consolidate the governance of the two state veteran homes into an advisory council that doesn't have any authority, appears to be purely an honorary and ceremonial body with really no teeth or authority. So right there, that goes against everything we've called for in our testimony. I think, you know, as you mentioned, there's been several hearings over the course of this past many months. And
John, I'm going to cut you off because I want to make sure that we get to this last question that I have, because your group has been on the front lines of advocating for a new home to be built. What does that process look like right now? Where is that at?
I think we're in very good shape, actually, with that. And we, you know, there's been a lot of hard work, and it's been great to see the teamwork, quite honestly, between the community, the legislature, the Baker-Polito administration, to get unanimous support in the legislature for a $400 million bond bill for a new state-of-the-art facility is significant, and is a true testament, I believe, to the support that our Commonwealth is giving to our veterans. So that is an absolute significant accomplishment. Probably the greatest achievement for veterans.
John Parody, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. John Parody of the Holyoke Soldiers Home Coalition, thank you for joining us.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank you.
If you followed the coverage around the Holyoke Soldiers Home, you've certainly seen family members of the veterans affected by the tragedy come forward to tell heartbreaking stories. Many have testified before legislative investigators about a frustrating lack of information about their loved ones. When the crisis first came to light, Governor Baker spoke about being informed of the tragedy.
On Sunday night, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary Sutters, and I first learned of the tragic situation that was unfolding at the Holyoke Soldiers Home. As someone who has visited this amazing place on multiple occasions and found it to be a source of joy and grace and comfort and kindness, this episode is a gut-wrenching loss that is nothing short of devastating.
In March of 2020, Cheryl Turgeon of East Longmeadow was trying to get answers about the health of her father, 90-year-old Dennis Threshner, who served in the Air Force during the Korean War. He had become ill during the outbreak, and he later passed away from COVID-related pneumonia. Cheryl joins us now. Cheryl, thank you for being with us. We're so sorry to hear about the loss of your father. Can you tell us about how you first learned that there was a situation at the soldiers' home?
Oh, thank you for having me. We first learned about the situation in late March when the media actually broke a report that there were deaths in the building. We had previously received communication that there was a positive case, but that the home was taking all precautions and steps necessary to keep the veteran isolated and safe. And little did we know that on a Monday, the media would report that there were deaths in the building, and the National Guard was arriving.
We've been hearing a lot tonight about different reforms that have been proposed, how the future governance should look like. As a family member who lost someone, what do you want to see happen?
One of the things that I've advocated for is I want to see a family member on the some board of trustees. I understand they're talking about a statewide advisory council, which I have some reservations about taking the control away locally from the home. But we need to have a family member that is on the board of trustees that other family members can entrust, who know, who are in the trenches with them. There were many board of trustees meetings that I sat in on that I could provide an alternate or a more authentic story to what was being reported from interim administration. And I feel that it's important to have somebody who is in it thick and can help others as well.
Does it strike you at all that we have the Holyoke Soldiers Home Coalition saying one thing, we have lawmakers who seem to be saying something different? Does it strike you at all that there might be a disconnect there?
I'm hoping there isn't a disconnect. I'm just hoping that there could be more meaningful conversations that include veterans and their families. Putting pen to paper and making laws and reform is serious business. And some of the reforms that are suggested need to have to be improved, or they need to be more thoughtful and careful in consideration about the veterans and their families. And one of them includes adding a family member. One of them does include a hotline, but we need that hotline to be manned. We need to know that in an emergency that somebody's going to answer. Our hotline in March of 2020 was not answered. We did not get information, and the mailbox was full, so we couldn't even leave messages. So there needs to be a lot more robust reforms that include families and veterans.
That sounds like it was extremely frustrating, if nothing else. I'd like to end by just, can you share with us a little bit about your father and his service?
My dad was a hero. You know, he left at 17 and a half to join the Air Force with his brother. And, you know, at 19 years old, he was aboard the B-24 and B-26 bombers, dropping supplies to troops and taking and braving enemy combat fire. And when I think of some of what our young folks are today, I mean, I don't see a lot of them doing what this generation of heroes did. And I think we need to do more for them. We need to take care of them for the sacrifices that they did and gave for our country so we could be where we are today.
Cheryl Turgeon, we're really sorry for the loss of your father, but thank you for sharing his story. Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for being with us today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us here for another edition of And Another Thing. The conversation does not end here. You can find us on social media. We are at AAT on NEPM on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also check out our webpage for more information or to hear any of our programs again. It's the And Another Thing page of NEPM.org. I'm Maya Schwader. Thanks for listening, and have a great Veterans Day.